This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker, Paul Esposito. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. I've got 1 minute for a quick introduction to today's message. This is coming from the sermon I preached last Sunday. We're going through the book of Revelation at church. We just started a couple weeks ago, so it's not too late for you to come by and worship with us. I'm the pastor of Island Community Church. We're located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30. If you like what you hear here on the radio, I invite you to come out and worship with us sometime. This week, we're looking at the third church. It's called, or it went down in history as the Compromising Church. Here today, though, we're looking at the persecuted church, a church in which the Lord had no correction for. Now, we're going to pick it up right in the middle. I'm talking about this famous saint whose name was Polycarp. And as he was about to be killed, we're going to pick it up right in mid-sentence here where I'm explaining what happened to Polycarp. Enjoy today's message. He was escorted to the local proconsul, Statius Quadratus, who interrogated him in front of a crowd of curious onlookers. Now, Polycarp seemed unfazed by the interrogation. He carried on a witty dialogue with Quadratus until Quadratus lost his temper and threatened Polycarp, told him he would be thrown to the wild beasts or he'd be burned at the stake and so on. So Polycarp just told Quadratus that while the proconsul's fire lasts but a little while, the fires of judgment reserved for the ungodly, he slyly added, cannot be quenched. As Polycarp concluded, but why do you delay? Come and bring forth what thou wilt. Why wait burning me? Burn me now is what he's saying. Soldiers grabbed him to nail him to a stake. But Polycarp stopped them, quote, leave me as I am, for he who grants me to endure the fire will enable me also to remain on the pyre unmoved, without the security you desire from nails, unquote. He prayed aloud, the fire was lit, and his flesh was consumed. The chronicler of this martyrdom said it was, quote, and this is what someone wrote who saw this. He said this, quote, it was not as burning flesh, but it was as bread baking. Sometimes you just got to be there. Bread baking. The account concludes by saying Polycarp's death was remembered by everyone. He was even spoken of by all the heathen in every place he went, or the story went. Lord God, help us to have the coupamone of this Polycarp. Help us to hate our lives like Jesus said, to trust you more, literally. Help us not to worry about threats that come our way, but to see past them and trust in you. No turning back. God, help us to be like this man. Help us to have the fortitude
that this man had, and all of these early saints had. Sometimes we lack their fortitude. I pray for all of us here today in this church and those that will hear this on the radio. Help us to have the fortitude. Help us to remember that when trials come our way, you're trying to create that in us. Help us to respond like our brother James tells us to respond. Somehow or another, to count it all joy when we encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith develops endurance. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Bring forth what thou wilt. Right? Esposito, don't preach that message in this church. That's hate speech. Now, 23 years have I served him, and he's done me no wrong. Bring forth what thou wilt. You all can fill in the blanks. Don't do that. You can't say that here. Aren't you afraid to die? You fill in the blanks. 40 in 6 years, 50 in 8 years, 60 in 3 years. Have I served him? And he's done me no harm. Can anyone relate to that? Has Jesus ever done you wrong? Even when you didn't like what happened. He says, bring forth what thou wilt. Okay, now some 50 years before this happened to Polycarp, the Lord Jesus dictates a letter to the current pastor of this church. Now Smyrna was a proud and beautiful city. Smyrna also had earned the right to be self-governing. It had a large library, a stadium. It had the largest public theater in Asia. Mount Pagus rose above the harbor with an Acropolis built on it that was considered the city's crown. A famous golden street went through the middle of the city with a temple of Zeus on one end and a temple to the local goddess Cypele on the other end. Other temples were there too, including one to Apollo and Asclepius and Aphrodite, all lined up the golden street. Perhaps even more important, the city had been the center, like I said before, for emperor worship. Smyrna was one of the few cities, maybe it was the only one there in Asia, that received permission to build a temple to the Emperor Tiberius in 23 BC. Emperor worship was required by all Roman citizens. Those who refused could receive the death penalty. Once a year, all citizens were required to burn incense on an altar to Caesar, after which they would receive a certificate proving that they had done their civil duty. While this was more an act of a political loyalty than a religious act, the citizen had to say, while burning the incense, that was Kaiseros Kurios. You ever heard R.C. Sproul teach on that? That is, Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord. Many Christians considered this a blasphemous act and refused to do this. The city struggled against two hostile forces, a Gentile population loyal to Rome and supported emperor worship, and a large Jewish population strongly opposed to Christianity. That's what you got there, a double whammy. You've got evil satanic-led unbelievers, God-haters, and angry Jews that hate Jesus with a passion. Imagine living there in this city. Okay, now, verse 8 of chapter 2. Lord help us. It's 11:25. Let's get started. Am I going to have to cut corners here this morning? No? Okay, you said it. Now, Under the angel, remember, angel, angelos, messenger. To the messenger or pastor. Now to that pastor of the church in Smyrna, right? These things says the first and the last, who was dead and is alive. Not many can claim that, right? First and last, who was dead and came to life. No one can claim that except one, the Son of God. He is the beginning. He is the end, right? He is the first, and the beginning was the Word. He is the last, the eschatos. The only thing he shares in common with us men and women is that he died. And he came to life. Which is what sets Christianity apart from anything and everything else. Is that death is not the end for us. This here is what Jesus did with death and the power of death. It says in Colossians 2:15, we looked at it Wednesday. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he mocked them in public. And he triumphed over them. So what makes your religion different than anything else? Here it is right here. Jesus came to life again. Let's not skip over that. Death has no hold over him. I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, Paul wrote, how Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day. And he was seen by Peter, then of the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom a greater part of them remain to the present, but some have died. In other words, why don't you go and ask them? There's 500 people over here in this town that have all seen Jesus after he was raised up from the dead. That's what makes us, Christianity, different than anything and everything else. Is Jesus is alive. People say all the time there are many ways to God and many ways to eternal life. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. When he came to life again, God put a stamp of approval on his Son and authenticated every word that Jesus ever said. Which is why Jesus says in John 6, 6:3, he says, my words are spirit and they are life. My words are spirit. That's why I recommend you sit down and take a couple years and memorize every red letter in your Bible. It'll do you some good. So this letter comes from the one who came to life again. His own description. That's what he said. You tell the pastor, this is from the one who died and came to life again. Verse 9. I know your works and your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews but are not, but are of a synagogue of Satan. He's saying, I haven't forgotten.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're invited to the biggest event of the year, the International Christian Film and Music Festival on May 1st through May 5th, 2018 at the Wyndham Orlando Resort International Drive. Kicking off the festival is the award-winning band Newsboys on May 1st at First Baptist Church Orlando. On Wednesday, May 2nd, hear what lead singer Michael Tate and drummer Duncan Phillips have to say with a special Q&A session at the Wyndham Orlando Resort at 2 p.m. Watch over 150 films from the best filmmakers around the globe.